always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers creator for Offside, joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon by you guys. It is a mailbag episode here today, as Harrison and I recorded yesterday, and obviously we had the holiday, and I got a little sick, but I'm feeling perfectly fine now, 100% back up on my feet. Voice feels good. Ate a little too much for lunch, ordered Chipotle, and then took down the whole burrito. Don't normally do that, but I only ate a banana this morning. But like, you still feel kind of heavy, so hopefully I'll be able to fight off that post-lunch morass that can sometimes set in. But I will be doing so here on the air with you guys in this mailbag episode, where you guys have asked about the red flags that might have been risen for Mark Walter as the Lakers sought out their assistant GMs. There are others who have asked about Anthony Davis, given some of his comments recently about Austin Reeves and whether a return to the Lakers could ever be in the cards there, or if that bridge has been burnt to too much of a degree. You have others asking about, you know, the difference between these late second rounders who were drafted and those who go undrafted. And then on Twitter, you know, and I think this is probably going to get the bulk of the attention from this episode. On Twitter, people are asking about what the Lakers options would be, and what the impact to their cap space would be in the event that LeBron James departs this upcoming summer to go elsewhere via free agency. So there's a lot that you guys, and then obviously you guys are going to have questions in the chat over the course of the show as well. And after I get to the iTunes mailbag, and after I get to most of the Twitter mailbag, and all of that good stuff, I will dive into the chat to answer whatever questions you guys might have there. And we'll enjoy this, you know, mid-afternoon recording session together. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show. And also turn on notifications to YouTube so that you get the notifications to the show. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those pods, preferably on Odyssey, but they all count the same to me. Also, as always, this show is brought to you in video form in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA use that promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup of your own, you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has been a lot of fun, especially since the Lakers were eliminated. Prize Picks just brings back a little of that edge, or that extra fun that you can kind of get from watching those games. So HMA is the promo code to use there. Let's dive on in, starting with old Red Flag Robbie. From iTunes, QBreezy12 wrote, Lowe said on his pod that front office executives around the league have declined Lakers assistant GM interviews because they're wary of being tied to Pelinka. How can they compete with Boston and OKC's front office if Pelinka is lacking or has major flaws and is radioactive? Walter has to see this as a giant problem / red flag, right? Well, as Harrison and I kind of talked about in yesterday's episode, and then your own Weitzman and I went into detail in an episode last week. I hope you guys check out both of those shows. I can confirm the stuff that Zach Lowe is talking about here. Not that Zach Lowe needs confirmation, especially not for me. But I will say that, maybe more qualified people from better organizations who are looking at the Lakers situation and saying to themselves, wait, why would I leave my current gig for the uncertainty that I would face there, right? And by uncertainty, it's lack of trust in Rob Pelinka, given the way that he has moved in the past. It's lack of understanding of how long Jeannie Buss and her people are going to be running things. It's it's like joining like if you already have a solid gig, yes, there might be more upside in signing on to work at an upstart, but there's also the downside of, wait, what happens if this doesn't pan out? So there's just a lot there's definitely intrigue and interest in the Lakers openings that they are trying to fill. But there is also some hesitancy from around the league to pursue those openings because of, you know, all of these factors. And yeah, like if I'm Mark Walter, and this is something that Mark Walter and his people are doing currently, right? Where essentially he and Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and other Dodgers people, people from an organization that has successfully undergone these changes, they are all paying very close attention and then, you know, reporting back to Mark Walter about these processes and how successfully they are being carried out. And this is where it gets kind of interesting, right? Because those reports are going to land on Mark Walter's desk, and those conversations are going to take place, and those questions are going to be asked about, like, is Rob and is Jeannie and are the Rambi getting in the way of putting together the, you know, state-of-the-art organization that we are trying to build here? And if they are, then how quickly do we have to move to get people in place who wouldn't hold back those efforts? And now I'm not saying that that is definitely the conclusion of those reports right now. It might just be some growing pains that the Lakers are kind of going through here. But like if I'm Mark Walter, you have to be, you know, uber critical and uber honest about all of this and when those reports land on your desk and when those conversations take place. And also contractually, potentially, when Jeannie Buss, in her time, you know, as head of the organization, when that time comes to a close, then we will see, you know, what decisions are made then. It should also be pointed out, you know, in Rob's defense and in Mark Walter's defense here, that Mark Walter has been a minority owner of the Lakers for quite some time. And does have, you know, a ton of experience watching how Rob Pelinka operates, watching how Jeannie Buss's team operates. And, even given that information and even given that experience, Mark Walter granted Jeannie Buss these 3 to 5 years or so to continue to run the organization. So at least on some, you know, in some way, shape or form, potentially here, Mark Walter does trust Jeannie Buss or could trust Jeannie Buss. Now, as I kind of talked about in yesterday's episode with Harrison, I have heard from sources close to the Lakers that they do wonder whether this 3 to 5 window was part of the negotiations and part of the negotiations to eventually buy the Lakers, and some of why Jeannie Buss was allowed to stay on was because in and some of was because they you know, granted her the opportunity to continue to run things for the next 3 to 5 years. And in return, the Lakers never hit the open market. So, yeah, it's a there's a lot going on here. And if I were Mark Walter, the way that this has gone so far would be a red flag, right? The fact that the Lakers hiring pool for some of these spots is somewhat narrowed. If it's narrowed at all by Rob Pelinka, you know, and the lack of trust the people around the league might have in him, or that lack of transparency on the future of the Lakers franchise. Like if there are any qualified candidates who are looking at the Lakers as a potential as an opportunity and saying, I don't know, then to me, that's grounds for getting everybody out of there as quickly as they possibly can. And I know that there are some like, you know, there are probably some contractual clauses at play here that might limit the amount, or, you know, the haste with which people can be released from their positions. But yeah, I think, you know, there's enough noise out there, and Mark Walter and his team have watched this now in a lot, you know, they've had a front row seat to this process so far. And from what I have heard about the process so far, I would probably say that there are probably some questions about the people who are currently presiding over their current gigs, and what that will mean for the immediate or longer term future of the Lakers, we'll see. Last point on this. There are quotes out there from Mark Walter about his takeover of the Lakers, his purchase of the Dodgers, and how long it took to get more of his people in place. And to get, you know, Ned Colletti and the prior regime, you know, to move on. And there is some apparent regret there that he wishes that he could, you know, arrive at where the Lakers are now, or where the Dodgers are now sooner. And I'm really fascinated. I keep on going back to that quote. And you know, thinking about the Lakers situation here. And the reason I'm specifically fascinated by that quote and how it pertains to this situation here is because the Lakers currently have Luka Doncic in his prime, 27, 28, like the next 5 years of Luka Doncic might be the best basketball that dude ever plays. You've already had one and a half years or so full season of Jeannie Buss calling the shots in the spot that Mark Walter has granted her. That means you have anywhere from 2 to 4 years left of this window. And that would mean that at least half of Luka Doncic's prime might be spent with people who Mark Walter might think or know aren't equipped to handle that prime. So if he does think, you know, and this offseason I think is going to be the offseason that decides, you know, the haste with which Mark Walter gets all of his people in there and gets all of the previous regime out of there. If Mark Walter, you know, thinks, or Andrew Friedman or Farhan Zaidi report back to Mark Walter that they think that the Lakers' current regime is wasting Luka Doncic's prime, I and hell, might even be risking Luka Doncic's long-term commitment to the franchise, I do think Mark Walter would at that point have cause for getting everybody out of there, right? I think at the very least, in just kind of talking through these scenarios, whether it be on the show or you know, more privately behind the scenes with people, I would imagine that this 3 to 5 window that Jeannie Buss and her people have is predicated on belief from Mark Walter that they deserve to remain intact. But the moment that Mark Walter has cause for getting rid of all of them or four, bringing in even more people to further dilute, you know, Genie and the Rambi and Rob's voices within the organization, that once he has cause for that, you know, those clauses, that legal protection can be kind of worn down. So we'll see how this all plays out, but it is an excellent question. It's probably the most important question facing the Lakers for the foreseeable future. All right, the next question here comes from Mana from Heaven, who asks, what's the difference between picking a player at the end of the second round versus signing them as free agents at the end of the draft? So first and foremost, you know, we saw this with Bronny in his draft year, where some players and agents want to be drafted for the sake of, you know, the kind of cachet that comes with being selected in within those 60 picks that takes place in the draft. So you have that. There's kind of a rep bump there if you do get drafted, versus if you're an undrafted free agent, that's kind of the label that you have to overcome. Say, as soon as you get into the, you know, as soon as you get into your first training camp, where if you're a player who a team picked up as an undrafted free agent, and that team also has a couple of rookies, one was picked in the first round, one was picked in the second round, even if that pick was selected late in the second round, that team, by way of just committing more resources at the onset of these players' hypothetical careers, that team might give a little extra leeway to, you know, the length of the process in these guys figuring it out. If you're an undrafted free agent and you take a little longer to figure things out, you might be shown the door sooner than if you were even selected at 57, right? So you have that going on. Now, as far as the teams goes, the types of contracts are different. There's a pay scale to take into account in the first round, and that's why it's really kind of interesting to see how teams consider late first versus early seconds. There's some of that goes on, I believe, at the end of the second round versus undrafted free agents, where undrafted free agents, there is a lot more flexibility for the team to work out a contract with those players there. You know, we saw this with Austin Reeves, right? Where his representation, you know, basically told teams, hey, don't pick us. We want to get to undrafted free agency. We want to be able to select, you know, kind of the right team for Austin. They saw the Lakers as a great opportunity because of, you know, kind of a dearth of on-ball creation and just kind of the spot that franchise was in at the time. And Austin, to his credit, made good on that opportunity. So, so for the teams, you know, there's some extra flexibility if they can get a player by way of undrafted free agency versus late in the second round. The players might consider or might prefer being selected in the second round just by way of, you know, some extra leeway when they get into training camp. Then other players might prefer the flexibility that comes with being an undrafted free agent, right? Because at that point, you have your selection of any number of teams, all teams, really, at that moment, you would be eligible to be signed with. So, or signed by. So, I'm really curious how this is going to go in the CBA, in this new CBA, where we have all these aprons and all this stuff. That, you know, the better the teams can be, whether it be in the first round, late in the first round, early in the second round, late in the second round, or, you know, with undrafted free agents, the better that those teams can be, you know, in acquiring talent that way, that is going to be probably one of the most important market inefficiencies, during living in this apron world. So, These distinctions, they're going to matter more. These distinctions are going to matter more to the players, right? And that flexibility in that runway, if that is the choice that those players make. And for the Lakers, under Mark Walter, they're going to have, I would say, the almost unlimited spending. So they could, as far as legally goes, I would imagine they're going to buy a second rounder in just about every draft from here on out. And they're going to not just try to maximize the opportunities they can create for themselves with those second rounders, but they're also going to, I would probably say, supplement the organization in a very big way, so that not only are they selecting the best talents, whether it be, in any point in the draft, or acquiring those young prospects by way of undrafted free agency, not only are they going to focus on, scouting and optimizing those picks, but they're also critically going to, actually implement the processes that Rob Pelinka talked about when they hired JJ Redick to start to develop some of this talent and get more out of their organizational youth than they have gotten over the last couple of years. All right. Let's see. We have questions here from the, where are we? Come on. Here we go. All right. We have questions here from the Twitter mailbag as well. Although I did see, I thought so. We have a couple of super comments here, so I'll get to those first, then I'll go to Twitter, then I'll come back to the chat. Before we do any of that, we have to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Always. All right, Matthew the Sicilian writes, so Anthony, where's the Darius appearance? That's a great question. I've had Darius on the Great Western Forum. Darius used to be a regular guest. Back before LFR, he and I go way back. There's no real good explanation for not having Darius on the show. I will say one factor is that he has a 9-to-5 gig, and that keeps him very busy. He has a family with multiple kids, and they keep him very busy. So he kind of has, his hours outside of recording LFR are somewhat limited. Based on this request here, I'll shoot Darius a text and because I have his number, I'll shoot Darius a text and we'll kind of see if we could land on a time for him to come on the show. But those episodes are fun. I definitely miss recording as frequently as we used to. Maybe we could work it out. All right. The next question here comes from Ryan Lucas, who writes, sounds like the draft through July 1st is make or break for Rob Pelinka this offseason, right? Like, this is kind of sort of what it all comes down to. It's, this is an offseason that he has specifically planned for years at the cost of maximizing what was left of LeBron James's prime. The state of the Lakers and Clutch's relationship and his and LeBron's relationship, the state that it currently finds itself, is probably largely due to Rob's handling of this situation and his planning for this offseason. Rob is also, this is his first, offseason where, he will be, not his first, right? Because he was technically, Mark Walter was there for their last off season, but you know, this is the off season that he has told Genie that he has been planning for. This is the off season that he has probably told Mark Walter that he has been planning for. And this is, you know, he's run out of runway to kick that can down the road, right? He has reached the end of that bridge. And if he kicks it one more time and that can falls off of the bridge, he is out a can. Honestly, I don't understand the cliche. Like, I've never, like, kicked the can down the road. I've just never quite understood the point of it. Because, like, why are you kicking a can? Anyway, ADD.